Hello and welcome to episode 2 of our Trainee Times podcast series. My name is David Pritchard, Head of Marketing at Sintons, along with my co-host for this podcast series, Leah Greenwell, who is a fifth year solicitor apprentice. Leah has become my co-host for this series after a fantastic performance in episode 1. Very lucky to be joined today by first year trainee solicitor Ben McMurdo. So Leah, Ben, how are you both today?
After you, Leah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Pretty good myself too. Again, cold day walking in, but you know, the sun is shining over Newcastle, so it looks quite pretty in the morning.
I actually saw Ben walking in this morning. I drove past him. I didn't stop. I probably should say that. I should have stopped.
You should have stopped and offered me a lift.
I know. It was at a really difficult place where it would have been actually more dangerous if I'd have tried to pull over, but obviously, if I see you again,
you know what
I'll offer you a lift.
On my way into the office this morning, so I park my car, which is less than 100 yards away. I just park at the top there. So it takes me maybe 30 seconds to walk. I seen a box of dropped eggs everywhere, half an eaten iceberg lettuce, which I'm not sure why anybody would want to eat half an iceberg lettuce. I slipped. And then I also seen a cyclist slip as well.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, I think we need to push on with this quite quickly. So if you're listening to episode 2, hopefully you've listened to them in order and you've listened to episode 1. I'll probably tell you our website address as many times as I did last time, but all of these will be on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. And as I mentioned last time, we're going to be releasing 14 of these episodes, 11 with our trainee solicitors and our solicitor apprentices, 2 with 2 of our newly qualified solicitors, Sam and Ellie. And obviously the final one, as I mentioned last time, is a live Q&A with all of our trainees, solicitor apprentices, newly qualifies and myself. So please do feel free to send in your questions to my email address, david.pritchard@sintons.co.uk, for that one. But to episode 2. So we're going to follow pretty much the same format as we followed for episode 1, as we asked Ben to tell us basically a little bit about himself.
Yep, so I'm Ben. I'm originally from Leeds. I came up to Newcastle in 2014 to do my law degree. Spent a year in the Netherlands doing that as well. Went back to Leeds to do my LPC, then back up to Newcastle to do some paralegal experience, then back to Leeds, then back up to Newcastle again to start my training contract. My route has been quite typical, you know, LLB degree, LPC, training contract, bit of paralegal experience thrown in there. So I've had experience in the real estate department, then during my training contract, my first seat was in neurotrauma, and then my current seat, I'm in a dispute resolution team. Got some really interesting work on the go. We had a big 10-day trial, so we're just awaiting judgment for that, which was a stressful 2-week period, but comes with the territory, so it's been an absolutely fantastic experience to get thrown into in my second seat.
Excellent. So obviously you followed a slightly more traditional route. We talked last time with Leah about Leah being a solicitor apprentice, and she'd attended university and it hadn't worked for her, and she'd left university, but then the solicitor apprentice route came up and she has really benefited from that route. Had you always wanted to be a lawyer, Ben?
To be honest, I wanted to be a marine biologist until I was about 13, when I had a crisis of confidence during a dissection, which didn't go particularly well.
What were you dissecting?
I was dissecting a frog.
God.
And I may have cut it at the wrong angle and everywhere. And at that point, I decided it would be a bad idea to be a marine biologist if I was going to faint at the sight of a drop of blood.
Yeah, we don't have to often dissect anything in the office, do
we? And that's where the sort of move towards something more document-based or writing-based came in when I went to sixth form. And I had a couple of placements when I was in sixth form, and then a couple of VAC schemes during my university time. And that set it for me that I wanted to be a lawyer.
Did you do VAC schemes, and was all of your kind of paralegal experience, was that all in Newcastle as well, or did you kind of do some up and down the country?
Some up and down the country. So my first placement was actually a mini pupillage with a criminal set in Leeds, where we went off to Bradford Crown Court. And then my second bit of experience was with a large commercial firm based in Leeds, and then a couple in Manchester during my time in university, and one up in Newcastle. And then I had my experience week here at Sintons, and that pretty much set it for me.
Yeah, so actually we do want to talk about that, because we did talk at length about how Leah in episode 1, about a plug there again for episode 1, about how Leah had applied to the apprentice scheme and the different interviews and different things that she went through. So tell us about your reasons, I guess, for coming to Newcastle. Tell us a bit about, so you finished your degree. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the process there and how you ended up here.
So the sort of process that I had was, I love Newcastle, love spending time here. Got quite a family lineage of being in Newcastle. Both my parents did their degrees up here. My granddad did his degree and lectured up here, so we've got quite strong ties to the northeast. So I looked around at firms in and around Newcastle, ended up having a placement meet with Sintons, and it just stuck. Everything seemed to sort of, stars aligned, everything fell together, and that was pretty much it, really.
We are a nice city, aren't we?
Yes.
I do love the northeast. And go by the beach every day. It's fantastic.
So what year did you apply?
2018.
For a 2000 and...
would have been 2020 start, but then for obvious reasons it was a 2021 start.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So episode one, if we've not already mentioned it, episode one I talked a little bit about some of the things that I get to ups.
If you're just wondering why Leah can't actually complete the sentence at the moment, it's the Haribo that she's just put in her mouth just as we started recording again, and she just started speaking. So
I may have just had a bit of a snaccident and...
Snaccident?
Yes, I did have a fizzy cola bottle. So we'll start that one again. So last week I talked a little bit about what I get up to outside of Sintons, outside of university. Talked a little bit about having a puppy, which is just naughty and full of mischief.
But the most amazing thing ever.
He is, he's lovely. And then also playing rugby as well. So Ben, what do you kind of get up to when you're not in the office?
Most of my time is spent cooking. I love trying anything new, cooking different recipes, fantasizing over kitchens and thinking about what kind of like countertop I want and what kind of kitchen island I'd like to have, which is a little bit sad, but
hey,
you know,
it's the little things, isn't
each,
it?
Each to their own. Yeah. Each to their own.
Do you have a favourite dish that you like to cook?
Ooh. Recently I've been doing this dish called Yom Nua, which is like a Thai beef salad. Mm-hmm. Loads of crunchy veggies, loads of noodles, but you griddle a load of rice and then blitz it up and it just tastes amazing.
I have the diet of a six-year-old, hence why I'm scoffing Tang Fast Sticks and had a tin of ravioli for my dinner.
Well, just to tell you a little story about Ben's cooking. Everyone else that I know, Ben seems to have cooked for, and we did an event a little bit before Christmas where we were working together, and it was quite early on in the morning, so obviously hungry first thing in the morning anyway. And Ben must have spent about 15 minutes telling me about this fantastic three-course meal that he was going to cook me. Do you remember?
I was a witness to this.
I'm yet to receive the actual physical invite or a date. So it was just, this is what I could cook for you. This is what I would cook for you. So,
well, you see that there's a theme now of David snitching on all of us. So the caveat is that once I get my new place and my kitchen all done out, which is what you've conveniently left out of the conversation with David, you'll be getting cooked for, you'll be the first one to cook for. How about that?
Excellent, excellent. Perfect. Love
it's
it.
It's a date.
So tell us a little bit more about you.
So I'm quite active. I like to get out and swim quite a lot. Currently sort of training for a triathlon and doing a lot of sea swimming. So I go up to the coast a lot or go to different lakes. One of my favourite spots at the moment is going up to River Cocket up near Warkworth. There's a beautiful plunge pool up there. It is very cold, but it's fantastic. Do a little bit of weightlifting. Used to compete, but with COVID, it's kind of put a stop to lots of competitions unless you've got kit at home, but it's one of those things.
So sea swimming, it's not something I've ever done. Do you literally just turn up to the coast, take your kit off, and then just get into the... Is that it? Or is it like an organised group thing? Do you do water activities, or do you just bob along the sea?
Kind of depends on the day. Like, if I'm doing a training session, then I'll be in wetsuit, full kit, you know, gloves, boots, swim cap, all that, with my little tow float with everything in the back. Sometimes I just go for a little bob, so yeah, it is just into the short shorts and then swim away.
Wow.
Sometimes it's in for a group, and we just go and have a bit of a paddle, a bit of a dip together, have a little chuckle and talk about the day, then we get coffee and cake. And that's the only reason why I really do go swimming that much, is so I can get my slice of lemon drizzle afterwards.
Oh, see, that's where maybe I go wrong, because I would just, I turn up to the coast and just fall into the cafes instead of falling into the sea and doing exercise. Oh, it does sound nice. It does sound like a good hobby.
Sounds cold.
It sounds bitterly cold.
It does. It
do you still do it in conditions like what we've got outside?
Yeah, so my last swim I went was middle of December when I think I managed about 3 minutes in the sea before I'm pretty sure my hands were going to fall off.
Do you have to like condition your body to it then?
Yeah. There's a lot to doing it safely.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many risks of like cold shock or getting stuck in the water and your body's just not going to move. But it's not to put anyone off because it's a fantastic thing to get involved with, and there's such a great group up in Newcastle. I think they're called the Chatterbox Challenge. They do loads of stuff up at Tynemouth and been doing daily swims since start of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, great thing to get involved with, and you know the benefits of it are just great. Low blood pressure, reduces stress, get outside, just sit in water. It's brilliant.
Sounds good.
Freeze to death.
Well.
So you're both going to come along with me then?
I've got wetsuits.
After I've cooked you tea.
After you've cooked my dinner.
Alright.
We'll go and put our wetsuits on and have a plunge off Tynemouth. Okay, so moving on from swimming outdoors in the middle of winter, one of the reasons for the podcast series is to help people who are considering being a lawyer, be that through the route that you took, Ben, be that through the route with the solicitor apprentice that you took, Leah. I guess it would be good for the people listening to maybe just hear from you, Ben, a little bit more about your experiences at Sintons.
Yeah, so my experience sort of started out with the assessment week where I was lucky enough to be selected to come and experience a couple of different departments at Sintons and get to know a lot of the team, do some various skill sessions, whether it was a presentation assessment, some written assessments, and then an interview at the end. After that, you know, we got selected for a training contract, and I had some delay in between my LPC and then my training contract, so I was fortunate enough to be offered a position as a paralegal up in the real estate team, where a lot of the work I did was quite transactional. So there was drafting lots of different documents, for example a lease or a contract. We might even do different skills that you would associate with being a lawyer, like negotiating or your other sorts of communication skills, getting in touch with different parties and clients and things like that. Since that, I then started my training contract and I was in the neurotrauma team. So we act obviously for claimants who have suffered quite complex and often traumatic brain injuries. Did a bit of everything in that, so it's quite a litigation focused seat where you might be drafting court documents, might be preparing witness statements, liaising with different parties and gathering evidence to build a case. Similarly, in my second seat in dispute resolution, it's kind of followed on that theme, but maybe a bit more so on the litigation side of things, where we've been drafting a lot more documents and being in court and getting in stuck in the trials, doing a bit of advocacy and building all those skills that you know you need to have as a rounded lawyer.
Yeah, I've felt that I've had similar experiences across my seats as well. I mean, I guess that's, you know, the beauty of Sintons and that we're a fully serviced law firm, so you're never just restricted to one area of law, or, you know, that requires quite certain specific skills. The benefit of it is that we get to go into many different areas and build up new skills, develop ones that we've, you know, had from other departments as well. So as Ben said, I imagine you probably prepared a lot of bundles when you were downstairs in neuro, like you say, witness statements, and you can take that knowledge and that experience and you can apply it to dispute resolution where you are now.
So Leah and I talked quite a lot about culture, didn't we, and environment of the firm. Bearing in mind you worked in other cities, you've worked in other law practices. Tell us about how you found and find the culture and the environment at Sintons.
Well, I think one of our core values being teamwork definitely rings true, especially, you know, in comparison to some other firms where teamwork is said to be a main thing and sometimes it feels lacking. You know, we can go and speak to different members of different departments at any time and just have a check-in, get some ideas on cases or where things are going. So, you know, we all seem to work collaboratively, especially on cases where you might have different strategies or different perspectives, and you can explore that together in a way that's not necessarily undermining of each other or, no, you can only do it this way. Different perspectives are taken into account through every single type of case that I've been stuck into. So I think that teamwork has really been that sort of focal point for me being at Sintons.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you feel like, Ben, but as you know, kind of being in a trainee apprentice position as well, you know, it doesn't matter who is in the office, who you can contact remotely, everybody's always so willing to help you, and you know, you always kind of think, oh, you know, I don't want to pester somebody because they look so busy.
Yeah.
But as soon as you ask them, you know, they're a listening ear, and you know, they're the first to help and offer any sort of advice and guidance. And I always, you know, really, really love that about Sintons. Like, it didn't matter how busy someone looked or, you know, how occupied they were in the middle of their work. As soon as you asked for any type of help, they would always just drop everything and help you.
I always feel very fortunate because I see you on your first day. and I watch you and I progress over, you know, the 5 years I've known you, Leah, and I've known you a few years now, and I get to work with you in different departments, in different guises, and often we'll work together on cross-departmental events. So it's been quite a few very early mornings we've worked on employment events when we've got 150 people coming to an 8 o'clock start event, and yeah, I'm very, very fortunate to see how you all progress and how you all change and develop, and interesting to see which seats you qualify into. I think I can pretty much usually tell within a couple of weeks of meeting somebody probably where they're going to want to to qualify into.
Well, that's another thing, David. You kind of just, you know, you've been here for so many years, and you just kind of see the trainee groups change and coming and going almost.
That's right.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are now recruiting for another solicitor apprentice to join us in September 2022. And as I mentioned in episode one, we are now recruiting for trainee solicitors to join us in 2024. I actually can't believe how many times it's taken me just to record that and get that one sentence out. Believe me, it's about five times. So glad I got that out, that we are actually now recruiting. That's the point of what I'm trying to get across to you. So check out our website, please, www.sintons.co.uk. We have a full section there on solicitor apprentice recruitment, training contract recruitment. There's a whole bunch of useful articles, pages, comments from our trainees. They all write about their experience and what led them to get here, basically. So that's all there. So please do have a look. If you're wanting to apply, the steps are there. Ben and I are going to now give you some top tips. We're going to call them the top tips for success. And we understand, and obviously the guys here understand, that applying for training contracts, solicitor apprenticeships, is a really daunting experience. So tips that we're going to give you is hopefully to make things a little bit easier. And obviously it's the benefit of these guys' experience, having done it, having been where you are now, considering a career in law, actively pursuing a career in law, qualifying, looking for the training contract, looking for the solicitor apprentice route. Okay, so Ben, go first with our first top tip that we're going to give our listeners today.
So when you're preparing your application form, it's essential that you go through it, complete it, proofread it, and triple check everything. Make sure there's no typos or no spelling mistakes, because they're really easy things to miss. Some useful structures as well that you can use in your answers that allow it to flow. For example, STAR technique. I found that really useful, where you describe a situation, you relate it back to a task that you did, what actions you took, what result was achieved, and you can even go further to reflect on that and what it meant, and if you would do something differently, or if you would take on those lessons and move it forward. That can be from any type of experience you've had. For me, I used some of my experiences as a bartender, some of my experiences in other VAC schemes, and tried to reflect on that, how I move forward, so that, you know, you're showing your awareness as much as the experience that you've got.
I think that's a very good point. I think probably one of the top tips I would give you from my point of view is make sure you're answering the question that's asked of you. So many times people read a question and they start to answer it, and before you know it, they're answering something else, and they're not answering actually what the question is. Keep reflecting back to what you're actually being asked, not that what you're interpreting you're being asked, but actually what the actual question is, because it's very easy to go a little bit off piste. And just make sure you're linking your answers back to how you've demonstrated certain skills and experience and how these apply to the role of a solicitor. So that is super, super important.
Yeah, that's right. And I think another good thing to show is that you're applying for a training contract or a solicitor apprentice role. Why are you interested in the law? What is it that's really grabbed you? There's often a question about what area of law do you like, or is there an area of law that you'd like to change, and why? You know, showing that understanding or that level of commitment to law is really key, and, you know, it'll hopefully show that you're going to make a great lawyer in one of the firm's offerings in our different service departments.
Absolutely. You know, we want to know about all your skills, your organisational, your commitment, your flexibility, your enthusiasm, your willingness, as Ben says, all the attributes that go towards making a great lawyer, making a great person.
Yeah, I think as well, with an application form, it can often seem quite robotic and quite to the point, fill in a box, move on. You also want to convey your own personality, your own sort of interests, and you know, what makes you the person that you are. Like, we've discussed about Leah's experience of playing rugby and getting heavily involved in that, me swimming and enjoying cooking. Those kind of things that will show that you're a well-rounded person and that you've got things that you can talk about and build up those relationships with other lawyers in the team that, you know, you might get partnered with or you might get put on in your vacation week. And it's good just to discuss those things and leave that impression.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We want to hear about your personality and we want to hear about your interests and we want to hear about your achievements and we want to know who you are and if you've had to overcome some sort of adversity, we want to hear about it and we want to know what you've learnt from things. And we don't always get things right in life, yeah. But the important lesson is what you do actually learn from it moving forward, and that's often really, really as important as if you've got something right, you know. Yeah. It is super, super important. So make sure you put that across. And just, we're going to come on a little bit to the assessment week. I mean, I suppose the one thing I would end on that part is check, and check again. And get people to read things over for you, yeah. Friends, family, tutors. Mm-hmm. It's so super, super important that you do that. And it's your opportunity. I always say with the application form, that's the first part, isn't it? The application form gets you to the assessment week, which is, yeah, just what we're going to mention now. So you're just putting your best foot forward. You're putting the very best of you across, and it shouldn't be a process that you rush. You do need to think about it. It is perhaps something that you look at and you go away and you come back, and it isn't something you'd necessarily can do in one sitting, or you might be able to. Different people work different ways. For me, I often find with a problem sort of leaving it and looking at it with a sort of fresh perspective another day, I think, often is sort of useful, and I don't find the thing quite as daunting. So I think just, you know, you do obviously need to put a lot into it, a lot of thought does need to go into it, and just get the best version of you across.
Yeah, that's right. I think a practical tip for that is have a working document. Have a little Word document that you can keep going back and editing with the questions, and that way you've not got something sitting, say it's on an application form and you see that. You just see the question and you can keep going back to it and reflect on it. And yeah, like you say, you'll put your best foot forward and you'll give yourself the best opportunity you can.
I think you're right with that. You know, that's something I've got, a working document of experience and things that I've learned. And we're not going to get back to my age again, Leah, but as we did in podcast one, but it's about...
Go on, remind everybody.
No, I won't remind people I left school in 1992.
There we go.
It's about, it is about 7 pages long, but it's far easier just to jot things down as you're going along. If there's a particular course you've been on, there's a particular skill. For me, it'd be a particular element of design or a particular product. It's far easier to write it down at the time than come to actually having to sit and need it and think, right, okay, so what have I done the last 7 years and or 10 years, and, you know, where do I start? So I think you're right. I think that's probably top tip. A working document throughout your career, just recording your experience, I think is an important thing. So assessment weeks, Ben, I was there for yours.
You were indeed.
I was also there for
and Leah was.
I was, yeah. And I think I did an exercise on the Friday, didn't I, with you? I think I did. That's right, yeah. So obviously I've been there from the point of view of firm side. I haven't been there like you guys have been from the point of view of applying side. So what tips would you give us, Ben?
Briefly, I think be yourself, be open, be honest. You know, those are the sort of core things that you want to come across. For example, with some of the tasks that you get given, they're quite daunting and they can be quite, you go, oh God, I don't know what to put here. This is really confusing. I've never encountered this bit of law, or I've never done this. Be honest about that. Make it known. Say to someone, I don't quite understand this. Could you explain it to me in a little bit more detail? It's showing that you want to learn and that you actually want to try and understand what you're being asked to do in as best a way as possible.
I think that's really important as well, in that if you're kind of set a piece of work during one of the recruitment weeks, you know, obviously you have to give it your best shot, and, you know, as part of your assessment, you're going to be assessed on kind of what research you can do. And but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with sparking up a conversation with somebody in the department and asking a little bit about the law, and just, you know, maybe perhaps just taking an interest in them and you know, being quite sociable around the office, I always think goes a long way.
Yeah.
I think as well, attitude is everything, and I've been fortunate enough to have ran teams over the years. I've been fortunate enough to have had apprentices, because I'm a massive, well, I said last time, I'm a massive supporter of the apprenticeship movement generally. I love the fact there are far more opportunities to engage with different apprenticeships in addition to ones that were available when I left school back in 1992, Leah.
There we go again.
There we go again. So I always say what I'm looking for, and I've worked with two very good apprentices here at Sinton's. Our first apprentice, he was absolutely exceptional from day one. And what bowled me over with him is his attitude. And his attitude, even though we don't work together now, his attitude is still phenomenal. And that's what really sort of stuck out for me. I mean, I can teach you marketing, but what I can't teach is energy, passion, commitment, going above and beyond everything that he had absolutely in spades. And it's been quite like a mentor relationship, and he's gone on to do other things now and is doing phenomenally well, and I'm actually seeing him tomorrow night, so wonderful. I will do. Our apprentice that is working with us now also doing incredibly well. Good attitude, works hard, good commitment to what he's doing, and for me it's a pleasure to then teach him what we do and to hopefully assist for his career in the future. So long way of saying, I think obviously big fan of apprenticeships generally, but I think relating that to the assessment week, just attitude is really it's super important. It isn't your entire life, let's be honest, but in the realms of what we're talking about here, just really important and something I would be looking for personally myself, particularly taking on into my team.
What follows on nicely from that is also, you know, teamwork. We, as a profession, are quite sociable. We're often in different meetings, we're often a team setting where we do a lot of teamwork. It's essential that you show that you're willing to contribute and that you might want to take an active role in leading a team. But there's also that try not to overpower. Engage people in the tasks that you've been set. I remember having a presentation assessment where we were asked to present on a new digital legal services provider that was app-based in and around Newcastle. And the way that we wanted to structure it was that we had dedicated team members, people doing different aspects of the presentation, so that when it came round to actually presenting, everybody knew their role. It was, I hope, a flowing enough presentation. David can comment on that at some point. And that when we were asked about it, everybody could be engaged, and it showed that we had a real, well, what I thought was quite a close-knit team. I think that's one of the key things as well, is show your teamwork skills, contribute, and also be willing to engage and reflect on what you're suggesting and other people's suggestions.
I know they were all excellent presentations, and I remember being quite close to that one because I think, as memory serves, and I hope I don't do anyone a misjustice here, I think I wrote that one. I think that might have been one of the tasks that I wrote pretty early on. Could not have been. I've wrote a lot, but I think that was one of mine. So, yeah, excellent. You'll probably do some written work, and this ties into what we've been saying, attention to detail. That's really important as well. It's not just obviously your communication skills and the way that you are engaging with people around you, be that the lawyers, the support teams, your other fellow potential trainee solicitors, potential colleagues in the future. But yeah, written work, good attention to detail, sort of super important. So there's some top tips around the assessment week. Obviously, if you're successful at that point, you move to final interview, which, Ben, you've done the final interview. The final interviews
been
this
there,
year are with, as I mentioned last time, managing partner Christopher Welsh and our head of people services, Claire Atkins. Both phenomenal people.
Indeed.
And phenomenal talents. So got any top tips on the final interview?
I think at this point it's you and, as David's mentioned, the managing partner and head of HR, Chris and Claire respectively. It's an opportunity to sell yourself. Don't sell yourself short. You know, you have this sort of one-on-two conversation where you can bring everything to the table, that if you feel that you've left anything out in the assessment week, raise it. If there's other bits of experience that you've got that you really want to highlight them. Show that you're proud of your achievements. Show that you've reflected on the lessons that you've learned as well in your careers to date, whether it's through university, part-time jobs. You know, any of these experiences that you've had, it's massively important to show that and how you are going to develop, both as a lawyer and then as, you know, a colleague with everyone at Sinton's, if you're successful with your interview.
Excellent. Leah, do you want to add anything to that? Obviously, you've been through the process yourself, albeit slightly different. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, the top tips that yourself and Ben have just given there, that's really sound, solid advice that if anybody's listening, whether you're kind of a student in sixth form for that matter or at university, that's something, those pieces of advice or stuff that you should apply to any job situation, whether it's a training contract or sister apprenticeship or not. The only slight kind of differences is that from an apprentice point of view, you'll be coming into the firm probably without any legal knowledge. I know I hadn't studied law when I was at school, so I came in having never even touched a law book before. So in terms of kind of assessments and any kind of written tasks, there's no pressure on you at all to know the law and to know the legal side of things. What they do look for instead are those basic skills that you will have picked up during school, so attention to detail, the way that you structure things, you know, grammar and punctuation, which probably, you know, to a lot of people might seem basic, but they're so fundamental, and if you get them wrong, then it will be very easily noticed. So from an apprentice recruitment point of view, there's no pressure at all for you to know the ins and outs of the law. It's more just what you can do with the information that you've been given. In terms of any advice for interviews, I always just try to prepare the night before, see if there was any kind of questions that I thought I might get asked. I didn't write a script or anything, but I just jotted down a couple of things. So as Ben says, you know, if you feel like you've missed anything during the assessment week that you would like to bring up, you know, I would just jot down a couple of things, and then if that was the question I was asked, that was, you know, something that I could talk about, because, you know, you don't have very long in an interview, and you can really start to feel the pressure, which is completely normal. I mean, when it's kind of the managing partner and the head of our people services, you can absolutely start to feel a little bit nervous that you want to impress and you want to get over the best version of yourself. So I think it's quite important to prepare ahead of the interview as much as you can anyway. Of course, you never know what questions you might get asked. Every interview will differ on whatever firm you're applying to. Some interviews might just be quite casual, they might be quite chatty, and in that case, you know, your personality and, as David says, your attitude will just really be able to come across as well. So I think it's important that when you're answering questions, you're answering them honestly and you're answering them with your personality as well, because yeah, as I said last week in our episode one, there we go.
It's a plug.
Plug again. It's so important that you find a firm that fits your personality as much as it is about the firm finding a trainee. I think it really does work both ways. So the firm will want to make sure that you're going to kind of fit in with the ethos that they have, and likewise you want to find a firm that's going to fit your personality and your traits as well.
I think one final thing I'd add, just on preparing for your interview, get used to talking about yourself out loud. That's one of the best pieces of advice as I was ever given early on in my career, because if you leave it till the actual interview and you've not said the words out loud, you might have thought them, it's a very, very different thing, and you have to be comfortable actually with what you're saying. So do stand in front of a mirror and or prepare to somebody that you live with, whatever the situation, but just do make sure that you say this out loud, because honestly, it does, take it from me, it does generally make a world of difference. Okay, so as we start to wind down, I'm going to say that in every podcast.
I genuinely
love that. So as we start to wind down on this podcast, we've covered, we've introduced Ben. We're lucky to have Leah back. Ben obviously has talked about a very different route to Leah's, and our trainee solicitors and legal apprentices that you're going to speak to, well, hear from over the course of the coming weeks and months, all have very different stories. So looking forward to bringing those to you. So you've met Ben, you know a little bit more about Ben. Very interesting guy outside of work. Definitely somebody that you'd enjoy having a pint with, which is a big part of life, isn't it? And it's a big part, obviously, of the socialising aspect.
Can I just say, I don't think that is one of our recruitment criteria.
Strategies, no.
You don't have to enjoy a pint, you can enjoy a glass of water as well.
Okay, so the left field question.
I'm very excited about this.
Leah's been planning this all week, so this is what we are going to end on. I will just say before the left field question, obviously I've mentioned before, our recruitment is now open for trainee solicitors, solicitor apprentices. Leah, what's the website address, please?
It's www.sintons.co.uk.
So please, obviously, do check that out. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. We're happy to speak to you. All of our details are on the website. We've all got email addresses there. If there's something you want to know or something you want to know from our people services department, please do, by all means, ask the question. We've all been through it in different stages. And as I said to you, it's kind of reciprocal, isn't it? People put time into our careers, and obviously, you know, we're putting this time now into obviously hopefully helping the next generation of legal talent. So, left field question. Ben, this is what Leah's got for you today.
I'm very excited about your response.
Slightly nervous.
So, our left field question of the week. So, Ben, would you rather sing everything you said or dance everywhere you walked?
Properly tough one, that.
It is a tough one, I think.
I would have to say dance everywhere I walk. Several reasons. One, provided I get some good music, I will dance anywhere.
Yeah.
So fantastic. Okay. Could you imagine that, walking around Newcastle just dancing away?
Yeah.
You'd look like you're having the best time of your life.
I mean,
great exercise.
Yeah.
Depends what dance. Could be salsa.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be salsaing on my way down the Gallagher.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to leave that one there today.
No, David, you have to answer it
Well,
so I'm going to dance.
You always try and get out the left field question.
This is a difficult one because I have two left feet and can't sing a beat. So I really don't know. I think I'm going to ponder that one. I'll let you know next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for tuning in. We were generally staggered with the amount of people who have listened and are listening to episode one. So genuinely pleased that this is added value to you. As I'd mentioned, this is slightly different to our usual podcast. This is meant to be a little bit more fun and a little bit more lighthearted than obviously some of the usual content that we put out there. That is done deliberately. I hope you understand that. Hope you are enjoying it. Hope it is giving you a little insight into the human aspect of us and what we do. Stay safe, everyone. We will speak to you next week for episode 3. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.